Welcome to an exclusive SearchOracle.com podcast. I'm Shayna Garlick, assistant editor. Last September at Oracle Open World, Larry Ellison made a long-awaited announcement, Oracle's entrance into the appliance market. Oracle revealed that it worked with HP for 3 years to produce the Exadata product line, which includes the HP Oracle Exadata storage servers and the HP Oracle database machine. Oracle calls its database machine, which runs Oracle Database 11G and real application clusters in Oracle Enterprise Linux, the fastest of its kind in the world. Today we're speaking with Kurt Monash of Monash Research. Kurt is a leading analyst of and strategic advisor to the software industry and has written extensively about the Exadata product line. Thank you for speaking with me today, Kurt. Can you explain what the Exadata product line is all about? Tell us more about what the Exadata database machine actually does.
The Exadata is a product line from Oracle that is currently done in tight partnership with hardware maker Hewlett-Packard, HP. And it's really just an extension to the Oracle database management system, or can be viewed as a data warehouse appliance. And the problem it solves is that Oracle data warehouses were limited in size, or else you went through great pains in having large ones because there was a problem with disk I/O. There was a bottleneck, and Exadata attempts to reduce the bottleneck by having a separate set of processors that do sort of early parts of query processing to reduce the amount of data that is sent back to the classical Oracle system.
As of now, in April 2009, is the Exadata database machine generally available for shipping?
It certainly seems to be. Oracle is being extremely secretive about customers, prospects, and so on, but they insist that they have made at least some sales.
And you've been writing extensively about the product, so I'm curious if you've been able to test the machine yourself and where you've been able to learn all of this information about the product.
No, I've not tested the machine myself. Back in October, shortly after the product came out, I visited with the senior development team at Oracle for much of a day, and much of what I know comes from that, or the rest would come from, you know, public statements.
And do you feel Oracle's done enough to provide benchmarking data around the product line?
Company-provided benchmarking data is inherently useless. The question is whether Oracle has made Exadata sufficiently easy for customers to benchmark in their own proofs of concept, and the answer to that is no. I'm an advocate that customers involved in proofs of concept should be allowed to drive them largely or entirely themselves. Oracle is extremely reluctant to, for example, do on-site proofs of concept, raising fears that Exadata might only perform well with, you know, great amounts of expert fiddling database administration to get that performance out of it.
What do you feel are Exadata's pros and cons? What does it do really well, and where does it still need some work?
Again, since getting one's hands on a live copy of Exadata is a little bit hard, it's tough to be very precise. Clearly, Exadata is a high-priced system compared to some alternatives, although that depends on what your business relationship with Oracle is and and whether you care is affected by how committed you are to Oracle. Oracle has a large number of features for data warehousing, more so than most competitors, and some of them are performance accelerations that are not necessarily virtues versus systems with other architectures, but others are just good stuff. You know, good support for SQL 2003, good support data mining functionality, lots of analytic capabilities, and extended data type support that you might care about.
And how does the product compare to similar offerings from other vendors?
It's unique, or almost unique, in one regard, which is that there's this database tier and there is this storage tier, which is a fairly clever architecture. Oracle's approach to parallelization is therefore different. You know, a lot of it's dependent on, you know, the old rack technology originally created for transaction processing, which may or may not be as easy to administer as some more data warehouse-focused ones. Again, in terms of analytic functionality, you got to say it's one of the leaders. Teradata has its own strong story to tell there, and a couple of the upstarts were based on Postgres SQL, like Greenplum and Aster, despite being very new, have some interesting stories to tell. Netezza has an interesting story to tell, but still, you know, it's strong on that side. You know, there are very different architectures for products. There are many different architectures out there. Columnar does one thing, but you know, Sybase's approach to Columnar is very different from Vertica's. For row-based systems, Netezza is very different from Oracle, is very different from Aster, and so on.
What can you tell us about the pricing and licensing structure, and how does that compare with other similar products' pricing?
You know, Oracle is rarely going to be a low-cost leader. It's a little tough to assess the prices because most vendors will give quantity discounts that bring you far below their list prices. Oracle also has two-tier of list prices because there's sort of, you know, the slow disk and the fast disk option. So I have a spreadsheet posted you can find at dbms2.com, and I'll update it as information comes out of the price list. On a price per terabyte basis, Oracle is at the high end, but it is not ridiculous.
How long do you think the evaluation cycle for this product should be?
That's a bit of a trick question. Actually doing proofs of concept should be pretty fast. If it takes more than a couple weeks to load the data and run the queries, you have to wonder about why the product is so hard to use. But the run-up to that, whatever product one's using, whether it's Vocoden's Value, whether it's Oracle's Exadata, or an easier to use, a potentially easier to use competitor or a group of product, typically takes at least a couple months. A big part of that is so you're loading data in. It's like a very mini data integration project. It's not nearly as hard as doing a real one, but on the other hand, you don't have the resources that you have for a real one, and navigating your internal politics gets tricky. Of course, you've got to set up your criteria and estimate what queries you want to run in the future, because you're buying this for your future hypothetical workloads. Presumably, you're in business today, so your current workloads you're getting by with somehow.
And generally, how should companies evaluate products of this kind?
I have a whole methodology that I can spread out over a whole lot of slides, but the basic idea is this. You want to, you know, assess your needs, and then you want to see whether products match the needs. And when assessing your needs, important things to think about are query workloads now and in the future, and service level agreements going forward. And as a general rule, you should really push the envelope on your query needs that you assess, because there always are more cool things you can do than you can think of now. The service level agreements, you have to really think whether you need to pay up for the very highest levels, because it's possible to overpay and buy for those. You have to think about, but you do have to think about reliability and so on rather seriously. For a process, there are a lot of steps, more than we can cover in a podcast, but the basic idea is that you come up with a list of queries, you come up with a list with concurrency, how many of those queries you need to run at once. You think of load tasks, and you get set up to physically test those things on every machine you will look at. And, oh, by the way, you do the baseball bat test, where you try to break the machine and pull out parts and unplug things and see how gracefully it degrades and it recovers. And I'm saying this out of order, but there's obviously a process in which you build the short list so as to pick the few companies you're going to do the proof of concept against.
Do you think Oracle will open up the product to the channel and value-added resellers?
Beats the hell out of me, but these are sort of the high-end stuff that doesn't, you know, fit that well in the channel. I mean, right now, Oracle can't even find the engineers to do an on-site proof of concept. So turning it over to the channel to sell is probably pretty far down the road.
And lastly, what advice do you have for users who are considering the Exadata database machine?
First of all, I'd see whether you think you can afford it or whether you are so locked into Oracle that you absolutely have to use Oracle over any alternatives. I would say that if you're seriously considering it, you either should look for references who are using it for some purpose similar to what you would with similar stress points. That would be hard because it's such a new product. Or you should try and convince yourself that your needs can almost be met by Oracle without Exadata, so that you're highly confident that the Exadata improvements would be enough to get you over the top.
Thank you very much for speaking with me today. Remember to stay tuned to searchoracle.com for all the latest tips and news about Oracle Exadata. Thank you for listening to our podcast today. Signing off from Search Oracle, I'm Shayna Garlick.